This is Jim from the Nordies podcast. We're going to be doing a screencast here in a minute, but I want to tell you guys about good friends of the pod, Melting Hearts. If you guys are looking for some sunglasses or just want to check out a really good local company making a quality product, check out meltingheartsusa.com and cop a pair of these fantastic aviators. They got a bunch of different styles. They're really high quality for like a low price. I mean, I think these things are under $30. If you go there, you type in Nordies for the code, you get another 20% off. How cool is that? I've been wearing my Extapas all week. They're black on black. Very nice, perfect for driving, loving them. So check out meltingheartsusa.com, grab a pair of aviator sunglasses, and use the code Nordeast.
You're listening to the Nordeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How's it going, guys?
Oh, very well. How are you?
How's the speaking going? There's your very first line.
It's my second episode back, so it's very difficult to say words.
You look whirl as well.
I really tried to play it off.
No.
That's not going to happen. No. So maybe we'll try that again next week. I'll try not to fuck it up right in the get-go.
All right, man. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to have you back. We did do a sports cast earlier. You were back in form. It was great to have the crew back together.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty hard hat performance from us last week.
It was lunch pail.
Yeah, but not the same without you.
We got through it.
Two hard hat guys, though. So, speaking of that, we have...
It's like your Philly fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two different beers in front of us. What are we drinking?
All right, so we're going to be starting out. At some point, we'll just jump onto the other one. We probably won't totally make a spectacle out of it. But right now, we're back with Peak Organic Brewing. This is non-GMO, people, okay? So it's also anti-science. Anyways, IPA Evergreen. It's IPA with juniper and spruce added. So it doesn't taste like gin, though. It kind of just tastes like a sprucey, tasty IPA. I think this is better than the sour cherry beer we had.
I would agree. And since it's from Portland and they like to recycle everything, people probably just took their Christmas trees and threw them into like the mash tun. And then that's how they reuse some Christmas trees to give them a little second life, right? I mean, you don't want to waste a Christmas tree and just get rid of it.
It tastes a little like that.
It really does. Yeah. And I say that jokingly, but it does have a little bit of that gin quality to it, but it's way more potent, mm-hmm. and way stronger, and it definitely tastes more like beer.
And then it has that piney flavor, but it finishes citrusy to me, which I mean, I don't know why it is the way it is, but you know, spruce and stuff can taste a little citrusy. Gin can taste citrusy.
Yeah, that's good.
What I'm getting.
And it's unique.
Yeah, my wife really likes this.
It's definitely interesting. And if you're tired of kind of the same old IPA flavor, this is actually a really different take on it that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
I enjoy it. So we're gonna be sipping on this. Maybe we'll jump on. We do have some other ones from Peak in front of us. If we get to it, we'll know.
That's what I did because I'm not professional.
You didn't know.
Wasn't paying attention.
Well, how do you like yours then? You got the orange?
Yeah, the IPA Crush. It's a blood orange IPA. It's very, very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're nailing it.
All right. Well, Peak, then grab this one instead of the sour cherry. Peak
Organic Brewing Co. is really good. They make good stuff.
Yeah, $10 a six pack. Can't beat that either.
Do you think their brewery tours involve any sort of a drum circle?
Oh my God. Probably.
I hope so.
I'd imagine.
Like, we're going to celebrate the spirit of the yeast by celebrating with song.
It's definitely not like $5 for the tour. It's a recommended donation. But if you don't do like $15 recommended donation, you are definitely chastised.
Yeah. Most people do 25.
Yeah, right. 20 is fine.
I'm picturing the lady that leads the tour. Her name is like Feather,
right,
or something.
Feather's been here for 3 months. She lives downstairs.
We're just crushing we're killing it with the Portland demographic. The big Portland demographic that listens to us every week.
All four people have turned it off.
You guys are going to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordies Podcast. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast.
Nice. That's one of them.
Podbean. There's a bunch of them.
Watch it on Facebook, I guess, is a thing. We get views on there, so we kind of have to keep doing it. Not a Facebook fan myself, but it's kind of fun, I guess.
And
I like interacting with people on it.
Yeah, keep the questions and comments coming. One of them that I really liked, it was actually from a few weeks back, but we definitely need to get to it, was one of the better questions we've been asked is from T Brown 3223 on Twitter, asks, at Nordy's podcast, think the Knights of Ren clip from The Force Awakens was a flash forward rather than a flashback? What do you guys think about that?
So I like it.
What happened in the clip?
I haven't thought about it. I hadn't read that anywhere online, so this is an original thought. Thank you, T. Brown.
So I would have to go back and watch the scene of Rey rummaging through the basement at Maz Kanata's place and find out, were any of those clips flash forwards into the future?
The other ones
around it? Or were they all flashbacks? So that would be the only visual indicator.
They were very
indicator.
Out of context.
I think they were. Some of them were flash forwards because they were showing a future encounter with Kylo Ren.
In the woods.
In the woods. And that should end up happening. Yep.
So that definitely could have been a flash forward.
And so is it possible that this vision of Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren
in
with
like
their weapons.
Rainy, rocky terrain.
Is this a final battle type of flash forward to a menacing group in maybe the final movie of the trilogy?
I hope so, because that was, Eric, I mean, you lamented it, that was the one thing you were excited about, is to see more of the Knights of Ren, because they're a super badass group with all different weapons. I mean, it's cool.
Are they, though? Do we know that?
Well, we don't know, but they certainly look the part in this little clip we got.
They meant to make it look like that they definitely fit that bill.
Yeah. They have a name called the Knights of Ren, which was also fucking cool.
Is it?
The Knights of anything is cool.
Isn't it like, don't you think of like...
the Knights Templar? People think that's cool.
All right, that is cool. That is cooler. Knights of Ren, they're knights. That's cool.
We don't know what Ren is, but he's Kylo Ren. Is it his knights, or do they each have a Ren name?
I think they each have a Ren name.
I think that's fucking sweet.
I hope so.
I'm in on that.
Milo, but are they Jedi Philo. Knights turned bad?
I don't know.
Huey, Dewey,
I want to know
Ren.
More about... I honestly wish that they... that. Ooh, I can't ruin it. I'm sorry. I was about to just spoil
the
Star Wars.
Okay, well, look, we didn't see him, okay? So we didn't see him. That's not a big spoiler. They were kind of oddly absent from this Last Jedi, right? And when asked recently, Rian Johnson said, I didn't know how to work him in. I figured if I did put him in there, they'd probably all end up dead. So I just skipped it. Pretty lazy, in my opinion.
I think
like you're given puzzle pieces to put together from the first movie into a second movie. If a piece doesn't fit in a puzzle, do you just throw it out?
I think what annoys me, I totally agree. I think what annoys me more with the statement itself is that he's like, I didn't really know how to work him in. But this bullshit Finn and Rose story going to Canto Bight,
and then you
running
start
around
thinking
a fucking
about
casino.
The time we spent milking strange animals on an island and
all this stuff, and you're like, really, you couldn't have found 10 minutes on the cutting room floor to get rid of some of this shit?
Yeah.
To pull in maybe even just a teaser, you know? I know, or not necessarily a teaser because that's what it was in The Force Awakens, but maybe just a little bit more footage.
We got some explanation of what we assume became the Knights of Ren when, okay, spoiler minor, you know, when Luke had the showdown with him and he left with a group of trainees. That is what we assume became his buddies. They became the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
So we sort of know their origin. We didn't see them. Where were they in these very crucial moments with Kylo Ren? Are they out doing his bidding? Maybe that's sort of the explanation, but give us that then. Just be like, Master, my knights are out performing key things in the universe. Something. Give us something, man. What are they doing?
Okay, so let's fantasy create what the best scenario is to introduce the Knights of Ren in the final movie. I'll start.
I was going to say, I hope you got something, because that was your question.
Okay, so it would be unfair.
We just rip on writing, we don't write.
So here's mine, okay? Some group of mostly nameless, but maybe a couple lesser names are in a space battle with Kylo, right? His ship gets hit. He's in trouble, right? They are like, hey, we're going in for the kill. We're going to follow him in. They're like, no, we don't have enough ships to do this.
He's going to crash land.
You guys are too important. And they said, we got to take Kylo Ren out. He crash lands on this planet. They think they have him dead to rights. They have him surrounded. And then from the hills above come the Knights of Ren with all their sweet-ass weapons, and they torch all these important soldiers.
Do they make, like, funny noises and stuff when they fight? Nee! They come in, like, whipping their weird... wands around.
I honestly, if they talk more than just a little bit, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, they shouldn't say
no,
a damn thing.
No, they're there.
They just have to have cool personality.
They're there to kick ass and chew gum, and there's no gum on this planet.
Where they crash landed. Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
Yeah,
that's gumless mine. Planet.
Any others for you guys?
No, that's perfect. I like it. Yeah, get them something like that. They need to drop in and just show like a massive feat of strength early on, and then maybe put them by the wayside, and then just once you've established how badass these guys are.
One's got to fight Poe. One's got to fight Finn. Three of them are fighting Rey.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but then that kind of turns into like the evil Power Rangers, and like one's a really good swordsman, the other's a really good pilot, and it's like we have these shadow forces of the other, you know, the opposite of the other person, and that's even lazier.
If they have homemade lightsaber weapons.
Eric loves Power Rangers though.
I like the Power Rangers. Yeah. I'm saying at home they have like homemade lightsaber nunchucks and tries and bows and swords and all kinds of weapons.
So you want Ninja Turtles in space?
If you're gonna jump the shark, you might as well do it with the last movie.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah, I want
barter.
Wrong. Nice
hey,
try.
Hey, these Not are the happening. Same. These are the same people who think that what's his name? The red faced guy is cool.
Oh,
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul was awesome. Are you kidding?
Darth Maul was so stupid. Oh, okay. Darth Maul is as cool as Captain Phasma, and said less.
Oh, stop it!
Jesus, that's sacrilegious.
It was
the only good thing about
he
the
fought
prequels.
Two he was... Jedi.
Yeah,
and barely lost.
Yeah. Barely. Okay.
All right. Let's not get into this.
Dooku, greater than symbol. Darth Maul.
That's fine. Dooku was cool.
Way cooler.
But he was a Jedi. He was a Sith Lord.
He was awesome.
He was a Sith Lord.
He was handling people, and somehow he lost.
Okay. He lost a weak-ass Anakin.
Annie!
Yeah. All right, so...
Who had two sabers, anyway.
We're moving into Do We Care?
Yeah.
A game from last week. It's back by popular demand. Do you care? I think you did. It's back.
You cared about the segment. We won't care about all these news pieces, but let's go. All
right, so Do We Care? Game of Thrones, halfway complete. Halfway through their 6-episode final season with a possible spring 2019 release.
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I care yet. That didn't really move the needle for me. I mean, I guess it's exciting they're filming. I sort of knew they were filming. Halfway done is cool. I'm ready. I'm excited. But damn, they got a long ways to go.
Do I care? I care about all Game of Thrones news.
Eric
gets
cares.
Me excited. I'm pumped. I think that in the world that we live in 2018 and the social media and the news and the access to information and just how secretive and smart all of these companies are about getting information out, obviously we find out exactly what HBO wants us to find out. And they want us to get a little excited. They say, hey, we're gone, but definitely not forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so All Thrones news is exciting and welcome by me.
Okay.
Do we care, as a quick follow-up, do we care if we find out what the prequel series is going to be about?
I've heard that it will be like closer to 2020.
Care if we're going to find out about that
that'll
sooner
be
than...
fucking monster news. We're going to like meet for an emergency pod for that one.
Is there anything that would disappoint you?
Yeah, I can think of some stuff.
Dorne.
Stuff
if it was like main place was Dorne, I'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, something that like leads way too directly into what we already know would be, I want to see some different stuff.
Well, they confirmed they're not doing Robert's Rebellion.
Right.
So that's
so
that, good.
That's
that,
good.
That doesn't
that's
butt
too
up
close.
Right against, yeah, right against Game of Thrones.
That'd have been cool though, too.
It would have been cool.
Sure.
But the Battle of the Trident stuff, they've talked about it so much and you felt like you've already seen it, especially if you read the books too.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
All right. Next up, Do We Care? Westworld finished with its production and filming. It's coming out most likely next fall.
No, it'll be this year.
Yeah.
This fall. Yeah.
This fall.
Yeah, man, I care. I'm so excited for this. I think it's going to be solid.
As surprisingly good as season one is, mm-hmm. I think the expectations are set so much higher for season two. I think the answer is unequivocally yes, we care, especially to fill that Game of Thrones hole that we're not going to have this year.
Yep. I can't wait, man.
I care, but less than the last one, even though it's closer to the present. But the reason I say less is because, like you were saying, the the expectations are sky high, and they opened up their universe so much at the end of season one.
Absolutely.
To infinite possibilities, but I also feel like that opened up to infinite ways of going too far or failing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little bit worried that they're going to get away from the charm of Westworld and try to jump into a futuristic human world,
yeah.
you know, samurai world, whatever, Aztec world, wherever they're going to end up, too much. And I think a little is fun and exciting and cool, but it could get to a place where it just was a little haywire, a little off the tracks.
Well, I think we know for sure we're going to see like an East world, you know, a samurai world. We've already been teased that in the finale of this last season. So we'll see more parks, and I hope we don't see the actual world yet. Because I think that in the end, the parks are going to be incredible. We're going to learn more and more how it works, what's going to happen with it. Is it moral? Is it right? But let's keep where it is. What's going on in the real world outside of it? A mystery for longer.
Yeah, and then like even too much subway station felt like a little bit too much of a deviation from Westworld. Right?
That's too much of a, that's the bridge to the real world.
Yeah,
we were not quite ready for that.
I'm okay. You know, they showed them, you know, arriving on the train and getting ready and in the, you know, they're basically their dressing bedrooms or whatever with their hosts. That was kind of cool because you got to see the origin of how they got to there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not go beyond the train station.
Not yet.
Yeah. I'm not
ready
for
like
that.
Let's like tease some cool stuff. Like, dude, what is really happening outside of this weird alternative way of living?
Sounds like we definitely care.
We care.
For sure.
All right. Next up, the longest standing, longest running weekly television show celebrated its 25th birthday yesterday. WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw, was on the air for 25 straight years without missing an episode. Do you care?
No. I don't care at all, dude.
I don't think I've watched wrestling since, I mean, I'm going to say high school. And that was in the 60s.
Hope since you're like 6th, 7th grade, you should probably cut it loose.
So, I will say this. If this was The Simpsons we were talking about, people would be going crazy. Even though they haven't watched The Simpsons since they were in high school, they would be saying it's incredible that they've made these episodes. And this, in this situation, is even crazier because it is every single week for 25 straight years without missing a single episode, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Do I care? No, I don't care.
Really?
I saw it. No, not at all. But I did see a great highlight of Stone Cold Steve Austin bringing me back to my childhood, giving a bunch of people Stone Cold stunners and drinking a bunch of beer, even though he's like an old guy at this point in time.
The only thing I like are like old YouTube videos of like old clips, you know, where it's like, and I got some whiskey, I got beer, I got more beer, I got tequila, I got vodka, I got more whiskey. This ain't a dry county. Come on. You ever seen that one?
No.
What?
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, my God. No. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Jeez.
So it sounds like we don't care, but I, like I said, I think people enjoy the sentimental value or the nostalgic value of a product that's probably lost, I don't know, half of its popularity in the last 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I
doubt it. They're doing like record numbers of pay-per-view. They're doing Monday night and Thursday night. Was it Monday Night Raw, Thursday Night SmackDown in all these different cities, and they sell out every single arena? I don't think they're hurting.
I think that their problem is that they went from a show for adults, or at least from like people who wanted adult content, to a show for children. And that probably like cut their audience.
Well, the peak of like The Rock and Mankind and a lot of these like bigger names where they were doing an Undertaker, like they were doing crazy stuff.
They were doing crazy
stuff. Stunts. And then like the insurance got a little expensive. And they're like, we can't fucking have you guys jumping off a third story building. There's people dying, falling from the rafters. I think that definitely hurt the brand a little bit. But I think pro wrestling is going to be one of those things. Like Vince McMahon's going to be long gone. Vince McMahon Jr. Is going to be long gone.
He'll be like the
he's going to be cryogenically frozen underneath. Like
he'll
some
be like
mat.
The head in the water. Like Richard Nixon in Futurama will be Vince McMahon.
And then like his kids will be dead, and like his grandkids will be running things, and it'll just be humming along just like normal. It's just gonna, they're going to keep cranking out all these episodes forever. But I don't care.
I won't be watching.
I won't be watching either. All right, guys. Next up, Crocodile Dundee. Do we care, and what do we know about it?
Oh, man. So they're making some kind of sequel like they're doing for every 80s pop, you know, property. There's no original IP. It's got to be old intellectual properties.
They're doing RoboCop and Crocodile Dundee. They're literally scraping the bottom of the barrel for, like, 80s content.
They are.
Don't say that to Jimmy Channels. He loves RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop's fantastic. The first one was great. Second one was good. It fell off after that. The remake was horrible. But anyways, look, this is going to be horrible. It's got, who's the funny dude in it?
Is it Hemsworth?
Oh, Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth is in it, but he's not Crocodile Dundee's son, apparently. Apparently it's, okay, so who's the fat guy that's really confident all the time? He's got
Jack
the mullet.
Black. Oh.
He's got the mullet.
Kenny Powers.
Yes. Okay, it's no. Fucking Kenny Powers, but you know... Okay, well, seriously, we have a Google machine in front of us. We'll come
oh,
up
my
with it.
God.
So all we've seen is teaser trailers. It's not going to be good. I don't think we care. I really don't even know if we should spend enough time on it to find out the name of this dude.
But was Crocodile Dundee good? Like,
yeah,
the original one?
I think
but
so.
Was
I watched
it,
it a bunch.
Danny McBride.
Thank you. Danny McBride.
Did you have you watched it recently?
No. You say
so
it won't
is
hold
it,
up?
I'm, you know, I mean, I love Flight of the Navigator
it's
as a kid. That doesn't mean it's
a water story. It's the classic. He goes to the big city. You know, he's in New York. That's not a knife. This is a knife. The whole thing. It's good.
It looks. It's going to be a horrible
movie. It's
going to
be
movie.
Bad.
It's
going to
be horrible.
We're literally wasting our time.
Do
hours.
I care? No. The chance I watch it, if it's on Netflix, and I'm drunk and up late. Or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe when I could watch it. He's going to play the same character from every single thing that Danny McBride is in.
Yeah.
And that character is just okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on before we waste any more time. That's an emphatic no, we don't care.
All right. Next up, Mighty Ducks TV series.
Once again, pillaging our childhood. Mighty Ducks, man. Bring it to ABC. ABC's developing it.
Oh, no. No, not,
I know.
No, I don't
we're not,
care.
None of us are going to actually watch this, so let's just move on. Fuck, we don't care.
If you would have told me it was on FX, I would have been like, cool, I'll watch it. If you would have told me it was on even maybe USA,
maybe.
I would have said, probably not, but maybe.
You think FX would ever have like a family-friendly...
Hell no, but if it was like a little less...
But what if they went real dark and they were like, coach... had an inappropriate relationship with some of the hockey player. I mean, that's where FX would take it.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure. Saying that's funny because that probably happens in real life. And that's terrifying.
Coach, in FX version, Charlie or whatever wouldn't be okay with the coach banging his mom.
Yeah, right. He would definitely.
He would be like, oh, coach, again. You've been over
He'd
six nights in
death.
A row.
He would beat him to death with a hockey stick and a pilot, and it would be him and his three friends on the run. The rest, zero hockey in the rest of the entire series.
Just Casey Jones is all over the place.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. All right, so we don't care.
No.
No.
All right, finally, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly doing Holmes and Watson.
This I kind of care
Sherlock
about.
Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Is it a TV show or is it a movie?
No, it's a movie, and it's like a straight-up period piece. By the way, those two together are absolutely hilarious. Have you seen Step Brothers?
Outside of Step Brothers, name me something where they're hilarious together.
That's all they've really, that's what they do,
outside of
right?
Step Brothers, name me something that John C. Reilly was good in.
I was going to say,
he's good in everything.
What was the Ricky Bobby?
Horrible.
He was
horrible.
That
maybe
movie
the
was
worst,
really bad.
Maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's not great.
So I'll give you Step Brothers. That will be
but
the one.
But this will be like a Step Brothers thing where it's just like truly the two of them playing
Is that
off
what
each
I
other.
Want for Sherlock Holmes?
I think so.
I doubt
I think it.
It
has the potential to be really funny, and I love
I
everything
don't think
Sherlock
you do.
Holmes. I give it all a shot.
I feel like it's going to be Mr. Bean, but like Will Ferrell. Like, or what's the...
So you think Will Ferrell's going to be the dumbass?
Johnny, what was the spy movie with Rowan Atkinson? He's Johnny English.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
It's going to be, like, slapsticky
like he'll
and
fall,
dumb.
You know, blunder his way into solving the cases.
And then he's going to fart, and then they're going to solve the murder because the fart bubbles, like, gave away the secret. And
it, like, wafted into the secret room.
Here's my question. Who is going to be who? That's all I can think about.
Oh, dude, for sure we got Sherlock for Ferrell.
You think so?
Oh, it's done. It's a done deal.
But Watson has got to be the smarter character.
In this one, maybe. Right. Maybe that'll be the
John C. Reilly has never not played the sidekick, so I don't think he would know what to do in a leading role.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, Yeah.
It's going to be funny. I actually have some faith in this one. It'll probably be a hard R-rated movie, which will just be ridiculous. I don't know. Nobody stuck out to me. I know,
but that matters more to me than who's playing the leads for that.
What matters the most to me is the rating.
Like the Rotten Tomato. It's probably going to be an R rating.
Rated R, I'm in. Rated PG-13.
It's going to suck.
Wouldn't see it for anything.
Okay.
Even with the movie pass?
Yeah.
And it's your only August movie?
Yeah, waste of time.
So I think we got two I don't cares and I do care. Is that true?
I think I care just enough to like keep it in the back of my mind.
I don't care. I think I want to find out a little bit more about who's involved.
We won't know. It's like October of 2018. Okay. So we won't see anything for a while.
No, I mean, who's involved, writing, directing, all those kind of things. Yep. I think that would matter more to me than just Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly being attached to the project, because that kind of turns me off.
Yeah.
But if the writing team is decent, I might be intrigued.
All right. Well, we'll follow up. We get a trailer or something. We'll check it out.
All right, guys. It's time to move on to the big picture. And today, that is the Oscar nominations. So we're not going to make our predictions exactly on who's going to win, but we could say if anyone was snubbed, anything sticks out, or anything you wish would have ended up in one of those categories. We're going to move through all the mixing and editing and things like that, and we're going to try just to get on to...
Can you give me like cinematographer only just quick before you just skip it?
Yep. So cinematography comes down to The Shape of Water, Mudbound, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, and Blade Runner 2049.
So Roger Deakins for Blade Runner?
Yes, Roger Deakins.
That's who I hope wins, but I'm really worried because the guy that did Dunkirk, who was that?
Hoyt von Hoytema.
He's also like without a cinematography Oscar forever too, so both of them like really need one, and I really want it. I didn't see Dunkirk yet. I'm an idiot. You guys both have.
Is there a way to see these movies for Blade Runner in theaters? Deakins.
Maybe.
You know how sometimes they like re-up them in the theaters?
Maybe like St. Anthony Main style.
Yeah. So if you could see Dunkirk in a theater, it would be worth it. I've talked to multiple people who saw it for the first time at home and didn't like it.
Oh, really?
And then all the people who saw it in theaters thought it was incredible.
Dude, I knew I was going to miss my damn chance.
How
on that.
Do we get that? Why is it so against the grain of the Hollywood movie industry to just say, like, you know what? Fuck, this movie was really good in theaters. A year and a half later, let's throw Blade Runner in there. Let's throw Dunkirk in there. Let's let people that missed out in the theater that maybe saw it on a DVD and thought it was just fine.
Yeah.
Let's throw it up in the theater again, $5 a seat. We throw Hollywood 20% of the bottom line, whatever. We'll sell a bunch of popcorn and pop. Yeah. How is that not a thing?
Instead of like, you know, week 15 of
why can't you continue to show the movie if you're going to send money to the studio still? I don't understand why everyone is just like, even with the cheap theaters that do it, you know, 5-6 months after like wide theatrical release, why can't we do it again like a year later?
Yeah.
Do the studios not enjoy more money of theater sales? I don't get it. Anyway.
Because I would. I mean, I would jump on that.
There's a lot of movies where I'm like, I don't want to see it opening night. And then like it comes and goes and I'm probably not going to rent it. But man, if that came back in the theater like a year later, I'd probably go see it again.
Yeah. I think like the Oscar thing, I think there usually are some kind of ways that you can go see some of the movies that are up for nomination. So if there's a way, I think you guys should definitely do that. I think our listeners should as well. Dunkirk, not that great at home unless you have an insane, you know,
sound system,
and entertainment system.
Okay. All right. Noted. So we can move on past that. Maybe I'm the only one that cares about that, but let's go for
it. It would be cool to see Deakins because I think he's lost so many times.
Yeah.
This would be his one to win on.
All right. Do you guys care about screenplay?
No.
All right.
I mean, I do, but I don't think anybody else does.
Best original, The Big Sick.
Animated feature.
I'm assuming Coco is going to win, so I don't really...
Pretty much when I hear some of them up there, I'm like, all right, Coco should just get the award now. Loving Vincent, never heard of it.
You didn't? They did the entire thing. It's probably a really boring movie, but every single frame is an oil painting.
Never heard of it. Wouldn't watch it. The Breadwinner, nope. Never heard of it. Ferdinand. I think it had John Cena in it. Count me out.
Correct.
The Boss Baby looked like the worst movie of the year.
I see all of these because I have kids and I've watched it, yeah.
And Coco. Is Coco the easy winner?
He hadn't seen Dunkirk.
I haven't seen, but I
Jimmy Channels hadn't seen Dunkirk, but he's seen Boss Baby probably 5 times.
1.5. the only thing that I noticed there is like, didn't a Batman Lego movie come out? That was good. Those are really awesome. I mean, that's kind of a snub.
I thought it was the Lego Ninjago was this year's.
Ooh. No, Batman came out this year. It just won't be on one, which is interesting.
All right, some other ones. Supporting actress, Mary J. Blige from Mudbound. Allison Janney from I, Tonya. Have you heard good things about that movie thus far?
I have, yeah. I talked to somebody that saw it. They said it was definitely interesting. It's a little weird how sympathetic they get with Tonya Harding. She seems kind of like an evil white trash bitch, but I guess let's celebrate her now because this is Hollywood and it's weird.
Leslie Manville from Phantom Thread, Laurie Metcalf from Lady Bird, and Octavia Spencer from The Shape of Water.
Okay. I'm not going to try to make any picks here, but...
When it comes to supporting actor, Sam Rockwell from Three Billboards, Christopher Plummer from All the Money in the World, Richard Jenkins from The Shape of Water, Woody Harrelson from Three Billboards, and Willem Dafoe from The Florida Project. I feel like our guy, Professor X, what's his name?
The new Professor X?
No, the old one.
Oh, Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart, yeah. I think, got snubbed here for his role in Logan, a movie that gets no critical acclaim at all, but I think should have.
Yeah.
I think because it was a superhero movie, they would never consider it, but it was well worth it. We picked it as our movie of the year here, mm-hmm. and I thought him as a decaying, you know, lost total control of his super, you know, the most powerful powers in the world, Professor X, was just fantastic. So
yeah,
I feel like he got snubbed a little bit here.
I kind of agree.
Next, lead actress, Sally Hawkins from The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand from Three Billboards, Margot Robbie from I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan from Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep from The Post.
This is lead actress?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the who's who.
Timothy Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name, the youngest...
is this lead actor? Or?
Yeah, lead actor. And the youngest to be nominated in over 80 years.
Okay, wow.
Daniel Day-Lewis from Phantom Thread.
I would hate to be anybody else going up when Daniel Day-Lewis releases a movie. That just sucks.
Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out.
Yeah, which Gary, you guys loved.
Oldman from Darkest Hour, and Denzel Washington from Roman J. Israel.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's going to be tough. We'll see. I don't think Daniel Kaluuya stands a goddamn chance in hell. Neither does Denzel. It'll come down to Gary Oldman and who's...
Timothy Chalamet?
No, he doesn't stand a chance either.
Daniel Kaluuya?
It'll be Daniel Day-Lewis or Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman, yeah.
Then the final two go to director Guillermo del Toro from The Shape of Water.
Sounds like he might win.
Paul Thomas Anderson from Phantom Thread. Greta Gerwig from Lady Bird, Jordan Peele from Get Out, and Christopher Nolan. Which
is mind-boggling.
Christopher Nolan from Dunkirk.
So I think it's between Chris Nolan and not Paul Thomas Anderson. I mean, Guillermo, I'm sure this movie is fantastic. He makes every movie, he's up for it, so I don't think this is his year for that.
Can you imagine Guillermo del Toro won? Can you imagine any of them winning it? Not Jordan Peele?
Probably not Jordan Peele.
What about Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird? Would it shock you?
I haven't seen Lady Bird, so I don't know. I guess it's a phenomenal movie. Everybody was obsessed with it. I'll see it before the Oscars, but I can't imagine that, no.
How is the movie, the Three Billboards movie, with all of these lead actors and actresses and all that stuff, doesn't have Best Director on there?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, I think it's when the director imparts a lot of their style and their vision into it, and you can feel the direction more, that it's like, actually, the reason it was kind of good was because of... I don't know, it sounds generic, but the way it is, as opposed to like what I saw and the actors and the performances and the writing and all that, it's like, I know, it's weird.
I think the best example of that is Dunkirk, where the star of the show is Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
He's the star, and right. You know it while you're watching it.
And you can kind of put any piece in there, and the same thing with Paul Thomas Anderson.
You just know.
You put plug pieces in.
It just doesn't matter.
He's got Daniel Day-Lewis as his lead.
Right.
I mean, the main person, the biggest star in... Dunkirk was Tom Hardy in an airplane behind a mask that hardly talked.
Bane in a plane.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think it's a little weird. I think the snub here would be Denis Villeneuve from Doom Blade Runner, because that's a movie where the direction was the star of the show.
It was.
I mean, I guess they just didn't like it because it gets snubbed for Best Picture
too long.
Coming up in a minute.
Finally,
Blade Runner? Maybe.
Best Probably. Picture. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, The Shape of Water, The Post, Phantom Thread, Lady Bird, Get Out, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, and Call Me By Your Name.
So it's probably going to be between Three Billboards, Shape of Water, and Lady Bird is what I would just initial reactions. I think it's going to be one of those three. We're not doing predictions yet. I'll see. I mean, I'm not going to get what I got last year. That was weird.
I think it's crazy that Get Out is on here. And in a great way, too. I love it. I love the fact that a movie that is not the norm for what is usually up for Best Picture is on there. A horror or a comedy, whatever they're going to categorize it as, is up for that.
Maybe that's why it's on there, because it's hard to categorize. I don't know. I'm not, you know me, I'm not the biggest fan of the movie. I thought it was actually pretty run-of-the-mill and kind of boring. And it's very predictable.
I just think it's exciting that a different type of movie, like, to me...
Yeah, I know. That's good.
To me...
That is a good
thing. It's the same thing every year. It's like you have all these movies that everybody loves, and then you have these movies...
But not everybody... I completely disagree with that notion. Sorry to interrupt you. I think it's... You have a lot of these movies that are kind of, like, weird and strange that the critics love and fawn over, but not necessarily this massively appealing movie. Like, if you talk about Lady Bird and you talk about Three Billboards,
yeah,
nobody I know has seen either of those movies. Right. Nobody that I know is going to see Phantom Thread. Like, you guys aren't running out to the theaters to see Phantom Thread.
And we love movies.
And
I love Paul Thomas Anderson movies. I love them. But even this one, I'm like, okay, now we got, like, a fashion designer in, like, a period piece fashion designer. Dude, I checked out, you know, and this is supposed to be Daniel Day-Lewis's final movie. And I hear it's like, that's the you know, content. And I just was like bummed about it, but
yeah, we'll make another great one. I think that they're critically acclaimed for being weird enough to appeal to the Oscar voting demographic of 80-year-old white men.
No, I was actually going to make the exact same point. I was just going to say all these movies that people do go out and see, and all these movies that everybody is crazy about all year long, are never up for any awards because everybody likes them. They're for, like, the common people.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes...
Us peasants that love these ridiculously fun and entertaining movies.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that sometimes those movies are really good and they just don't get the acclaim because they are popular and there wasn't, like, this intent to make this low-budget, you know, beautiful work of art that is all about acting and writing and nothing about special effects or any, you know. I think that sometimes we overdo that and we overdo what is, you know, what people really truly love in movies. And so whether you thought Get Out was great or not, it's refreshing to see something like that, you know, that everyone was running out to the theaters to go see up for it, even though it most likely will not win.
The fact that his brother didn't get nominated for Hero of the Day. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, I thought the performances were really good. I didn't think it was as ho-hum as Jimbo did. But I agree with Eric 100% that some new life into some of these categories probably needs to be injected. In that it gets a little tiresome that the same stuffy performances, in my opinion, continue to get nominated and continue to win. When you watch the movie and you're like, I just don't get it. I'm not in the theater, so I have no basis for it whatsoever.
Yeah.
But when you watch and you're... We always talk about in sports, like, none of us play in the NBA. None of us are NBA coaches. None of us are NFL coaches. But there's that eye test. And I feel like a lot of these movies and people that get nominated just don't pass that eye test for me. But maybe I don't have the eye for it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But these are movies that don't call to me directly, right? It's not like I'm like Moonlight. I'm like, dude, I gotta see this, man. I gotta rush out and see. Like, it's just what it's about isn't calling to me. But I'm sure if I sat through Moonlight, I would be like, damn, that is a powerful movie. I get it. I understand why it's acclaimed as it is. And I think that goes for probably any of these nominated movies. They're all very good movies. You know, Shape of Water, I guess, is at least has some more appeal. I mean, that's a fucking love story with a fish. That's a weird ass movie, right? So I get it that they're going to be a little different. You know, Lady Bird, it's about, like, a, you know, a weird girl. It sort of follows her story. It doesn't sing to me, but I guess I bet if I watched it, I would love it.
What was the movie a few years back? I think it won Best Picture. It was about the reporting of the...
Spotlight.
Yeah. And it had like Christian Bale in it.
Nope.
No?
Michael Keaton.
That was Big Short, which came out the same year and sort of...
No, gets you're right. Michael Keaton, yeah.
Rachel McAdams.
Yep.
And you saw it.
I Hulk, saw it too. Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, no, honestly, like for that one won Best Picture, right?
I think so.
I believe it did.
Was up for
and
it.
So one, yeah. That was like this movie that was acclaimed. It was about some newspaper uncovering, pretty much a cover up of sexual assault in the Catholic Church.
It was
right?
like the Boston paper, whatever. That
it was the Boston Globe, and it was this special section of the paper that did investigative reporting.
Yeah. In fact, The Post came out this year. It's a direct sequel, pretty much. Different scandal, different paper, seems like the same goddamn movie.
Yeah, so it's like, I saw that movie, and I wasn't excited to see it, and I knew that the critics loved it, and I knew all this stuff, and it was great. It was a great movie. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. So I understand these movies, and the movies that maybe the subject matter isn't something that's just simple and lets you escape your life. You know, I get that whole part of it, but do I think that Spotlight was way better than Logan? No. I really like both of them, and I think sometimes we just choose the one that is more serious and more artistic and was intended to go for awards than some movies that just surprised and were really good. So,
I agree, man. I agree.
All right, so time to move on to the curtain call, and we're going to do a couple hot recs. We're going to do a couple of what we're watching right now and hopefully kind of steer you guys in the right direction for your week and what you're watching, and even in this case, what you're listening to. So first up, a couple shows we've talked about at length or talked about for a couple weeks now. I have been watching. I'm a few episodes into both of them, and both of them so far are very good. I watched the first two episodes of The End of the Fucking World on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And it's really fun and creative. I couldn't pinpoint where the main male actor where I'd seen him before.
The only thing I've seen him in is in an episode of Black Mirror from season 3.
That's one thing I heard. The other thing is he was in a really, really, really good movie that was up for awards a few years back, The Imitation Game.
Oh, he was, and you saw that, didn't
yeah,
you?
He yeah. was young Alan Turing in
okay.
that. So,
okay.
So you would know him from that. He's pretty, like, he's
great in this.
He's polarizing looking, and how he acts and how he talks and everything about him is, like, very memorable. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he's very good. It's fun. It's short. I believe the first episode was only 18 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's a really, I don't know if fun is the right word. but
it's dark. It's a mix of quirk and dark and fun and funny.
Yeah, and it's
definitely engaging.
It's just different, and it's a good show. It's not a huge time investment, so something you could easily check out. The other one is one that I brought up, and I know Jim brought up a few times, is Dark. I'm watching it with the English voiceover.
You are.
And they do a pretty good job for the most part with that, and it makes it a little easier for me to watch, where if I like look away for a second, I didn't completely miss everything that happened.
Yeah.
But... for some reason, I can't watch it quickly. Like, I can't just binge...
for some reason. It's, like, the most complicated show I've ever seen in my life.
I can't binge watch it. I can't just, like, cruise through it. But every episode that I've watched has been just captivating.
Yeah.
And just really, really good. It is a lot like Stranger Things, but darker and less, like, a little more confusing.
it's
a little more complex.
It's way more complex. It's way more adult. It's not funny at all.
You keep saying that, and I've heard numerous people from our show said that when you say that, it's kind of like turned them off of it. Like that it's like dark
and shows
not
don't
funny.
Have to be funny. I mean, it's awesome. It's intriguing. It's just like, holy shit, what is going on? It's mysterious. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. The acting is unbelievable. The casting, like, where did they find like all these German people that look like younger and older versions of themselves to play these? I mean, it's, you're not going to recognize anybody in the show.
Yeah.
It's just great.
I was really hoping that having been gone for 2 weeks, we wouldn't have to talk about Dark again for like the 19th consecutive week.
All right.
Eric gave us a hard time for bringing up The Good Place. He was like, oh, good. All right, fine. 4 weeks in a row. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And then
we talked like 3 minutes
kidding.
About it. Yeah, look. Well, watch it, right? I mean,
yeah. People should definitely be
maybe
checking
you should
it
watch it, and then you wouldn't be so fucking grumpy
about
it.
I know. No,
it.
I got it. I I told you, like, it's the fiance or the my wife, and
yeah,
her lack of enthusiasm for stuff that has sort of scary overtones mm-hmm. is really tough to sell.
Yeah. And so, it's definitely...
like, Westworld for her is borderline, like, a little too violent. So
incredibly violent.
Dark.
That's,
is, dark
that's about as violent as it gets.
But that doesn't have any, like, scary, like, horror aspects of it involving children.
Yeah, this so has a lot even, of, like, okay.
It's even more
she's not
going to
watch this, man. These yeah. are kids in, like, really dangerous situations. And it's not like... like, this is if this is Stranger Things if, like, Dustin all of a sudden got, like, hit in the head with a rock and died.
Yeah.
Like, bludgeoned to death.
That's not going to happen.
Okay. So maybe not. Maybe for not for one. Her. Yeah. So, you know, watch it in your free time.
All right. So let's try dive into our last segment, some hot wrecks. Does anyone have one this week?
Well, okay. You go first, Barter.
Yeah,
go
I'm going to go with a quick one. And this is more of a show that's just easy on the eyes and ears to consume. And sometimes you need shows that are a little CBS-y in their formula if you're looking to fill a hole. I mean, you know, this time of year, there's not a ton of new content right now. And yeah. I've actually really enjoyed Manhunt, which is the Unabomber story on Netflix. And it's gotten some good, like, decent reviews, I think. It's got a lot of eyes on it. It's definitely better reviewed than Bright. Another yeah. Netflix original. And this has Sam Worthington as sort of like lead profiler guy who is completely forgettable. But Paul Bettany plays Ted Kaczynski, who's
Vision
the,
himself?
Yeah.
Wow.
Minus the
Infinity
head
Stone.
Stone, yeah, yeah, the Infinity Stone. Who's really good. So he's worth watching it. And the narrative of trying to understand the historical nature of the Unabomber, because everyone thinks, like, oh, it's just this crazy guy out in the fucking woods who was mailing bombs to people. And there's probably a lot of people even younger than us that don't even really remember or know who the Unabomber was.
Right.
But it was a pretty terrifying time in American history in that there were people, like, seemingly at random were just opening packages shipped to them in their office and
getting their arms blown off.
Blowing up.
And shit. Yeah.
Dying. People in the next room dying. People blowing up because he was like, yeah, I have a problem with this logging company, so I'm going to blow up their CFO. And, you know
it
what I mean?
Worked.
So, and he, you know, he looked at these people as puppets of like, I send you a package and you open it and you're my puppet and you die, you know, kind of thing. So really interesting sort of revelations and look into the mind of the Unabomber in a weird way. If you're into that kind of thing, like if you thought Mindhunter was good, I think this is slightly more intriguing because the pace of the show moves a little bit faster.
Okay.
So that's my rec.
All right, man. That's a good one. Some good actors in there too. All right. Should I do mine? So it's another true crime thing. So everybody's jumping on the true crime. As soon as I'm going to just do a tiny history lesson on Ryan Murphy, one of the weirdest showrunners of all time. Started out with a show on FX called Nip Tuck. Do you guys remember this one?
Oh yeah. Yep. Nip Tuck was huge.
Great show for a while.
I had a
totally
friend who called
fell
it
off the rails.
I had a friend who called it Nip and Tuck. And
that
I wanted
person,
to punch him in the
I
face.
I hope they're not your friend anymore. I hope not.
He lived in Phoenix and I don't talk to him anymore.
All right, exactly, because he's a Nip and Tuck guy. So all right, so like off the rails, crazy drama show. And then Ryan Murphy started doing American Horror Story. First season, pretty well renowned. Pretty much garbage after that, I think. I mean, I get that it's creative. I get that it's kind of beautiful at times, but really kind of a shitty pulp show, right? Pop pulp. And then this guy comes out with American Crime Story, OJ Made in America, right? Or whatever it's called, OJ, the Crimes of OJ, whatever it was. It was, you know, the Cuba Gooding and the whole
yeah,
deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this thing was, like, nominated for everything.
It was incredible.
It was some of the best TV I've ever watched. So you're sort of like, wait a minute, this guy can do this? He can get performances like this out of people? He can, you know, sculpt something this masterful? And so this is his follow-up to that. This is the second season of American Crime Story. This is now covering the assassination of Gianni Versace. It's just premiered this last week. I think it's on Wednesday nights on FX. I watched it on demand, so I guess I don't know exactly when it's on, but it's on there right now, on demand, free on Comcast. a really, really good, strong premiere. They launch right into the actual killing of Gianni Versace, and then they go back. Dude, Ricky Martin is in it as like the boyfriend of Versace, and just gives like a masterful performance and like a crazy scene. I'm like, whoa. I mean, it's surprising. And Penelope Cruz plays who's the sister? You know, she's still super famous now, but Donatella Versace. She looks like a crazy, crazy person with all her, you know, massive botched facial reconstruction she's done. But
sure,
dude, Penelope Cruz is killing it in this. So I've only seen one episode. That's all that's out right now. Really, really good show. I think I'm going to keep watching it. I'll keep following up with it. Definitely the most premier show that's on right now.
Well, you nailed it. If anybody that's seen The People versus O.J. Simpson, I think that's what it was called, right?
Yeah, right. Yes, that's what it was. Thank you.
If you haven't seen that, go watch that first. Yeah. Right. And then you'll get a better sense. Because I think that just by saying The People versus O.J. Simpson, it's by the same guy, you'd almost instantly say, well, I definitely want to watch the next project.
Right.
And
this is a case where you don't know as much, right? So everybody sort of knows the story of OJ. I was a little bit young at that time. You know, I was following it because it's all that was on TV anytime I looked at the TV. So I knew a little about it, but it wasn't interesting to me. I was definitely not. I was building a fucking raft or something. I don't know what I was doing. But looking at this, like I knew almost nothing about this. And it's a crazy story. I mean, the guy that killed Versace killed 5 people total. He was on like a rampage at the time. So, and, you know, an architect in Minneapolis was somebody he killed. So it has some roots here as well. And it's a really interesting story. It kind of follows the killer more so than Versace, but they don't do any favors to this guy. It's not like it's a glorification thing. I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm definitely buckled in for the ride, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see, you know, Emmys come up next year with Penelope Cruz as Best Supporting Actress or something like that along those lines.
All right, so I'm going to go into my hot wreck of the week, and my hot wreck this week is something that we haven't recommended before, and that is another podcast. I know a bunch of you guys probably listen to tons of podcasts, including multiple episodes of the Nordies podcast every single week, and I've got one for you. You've probably heard of it if you're a huge podcast fan. If not, it's something definitely worth checking out. It's called Dissect. It's a serialized music podcast, and they're on season 2. And season 1 was critically acclaimed. It actually was rated the number 1 podcast at the Casty Awards.
Oh my God. We haven't broken into that.
We got to get in. That's all I can think about when you say
that. We got the Nordies. What do we give a shit about the Casties?
We have our own awards. We don't need any damn Casties. But yeah. So season 1 was all about Kendrick Lamar and his album To Pimp a Butterfly. And season 2, the one that has been out now for a couple months, is about Kanye West and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Fantastic
album. So two just incredible albums for the first 2 years, both very critically acclaimed. And it is just such an interesting show. I listened to the first 3 episodes of season 2 just today, and I was totally addicted. It's just one guy, and he makes this show, and it's incredible. He pretty much goes through the history of sampling music, the history of Kanye West and how he got into the business and how he got into music. And then once he gets through the first 3 episodes, he starts going, every episode is about a different song on the album. Who was on it? What was it about? Where did he get the music from? How did he create it? What was he thinking? Everything. And so it's a really, really, really fun, exciting podcast. I know there are a bunch of people right now who don't understand the brilliance of Kanye or don't think he is brilliant. They think he just talks about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people.
That's exactly what he is.
He's absolutely unlikable. I get it, but he's also a genius.
This show, at least
a musical genius.
The show pretty much, it talked about how
Einstein was a genius. Kanye is very fucking far.
Musical genius.
It pretty much went through though, like how everybody copied everything he did, and they play you examples of music of people through time copying his style of music, and that he pretty much, he came in and he started this thing called like Chipmunk
Sped up samples. Sure.
Chipmunk Soul. And then they went through all these examples for the next like 5 years of everyone making that kind of music. And then it gets into like 808s. And Rolling Stone just said that was one of the 40 most influential albums ever. And they kind of went through examples of how everyone's music kind of shifted to that sound then and kind of who came from that.
Drake.
And so, yeah. And so it's really a cool podcast, whether you're a fan of Kanye or not. Whether I would say if you are a fan of podcasts and a fan of music, you would really like it. So my hot rec of the week is that you check out Dissect Season 2. If you're more of a Kendrick person, go back to Season 1, which is also really cool. It's a long album, so it's a long season. There's like over 20 episodes on it. So check it out. It's fun. It's great to listen to podcasts after you're finished with ours. You have some downtime the rest of the day. Definitely check out this one, Dissect, a really cool, exciting podcast.
What do you think you guys are going to wear to the 2018 Casties?
clearly, like, you know, Nordy's branded gear.
Yeah.
That's true.
Probably our Nike pullovers.
I think I'm going to get really fancy. What's the place called? The Dayton Brothers store?
Oh, Ask Off?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Maybe this is a good time to tease some of the cool stuff. So yeah. We're teaming up with Ask Off and Layson and Fair State to do like a pod in February with them. Actually, it might be moved out to even May, but we're recording with them. That's going to be super awesome. So maybe a bunch of crazy stuff. Like,
what about some apparel? You think we might have some like hats or?
Yeah, we're going to have. So we got the patches. We're getting the hats. We're putting them together. We're going to have hats for like cheap. They're going to be fucking awesome hats. Like you guys, everybody sees those like MN hats that Abel sells. So we just like got the same actual base hat and are putting our own cool shit on it.
Yeah.
So you know they fit well.
That's going to be dope as hell.
Dope. Yeah. Dope. Hashtag dope. Spread the word.
So there you go. Exciting stuff coming up in our future. Some really cool, fun episodes. Some on site. Hopefully some of you guys can make it to them in the near future. And some gear for those of you guys who've been with us for a long time and just like wearing cool shit.
$75 a hat, super cheap. Don't worry, we're not trying to make any money off this.
Yeah, to offset the.
This is the cost of the hat. Yeah, $75 bucks each.
This is to offset the free program that we've been giving out. Yeah. Because it's like
well, we literally said it at the beginning of the episode. All the episodes are free.
You buy a $75 hat, and you get a membership, and then you get to listen to the pods. Yeah.
No. Here's the other thing. It's the hats are actually free too. It's just $25
membership.
Suggested
donation.
Suggested donation of $100.
Yeah. So. Well, hats are going to be like straight up like $15 or something.
That
they're
might
be
work
cheap as we can make them.
The suggested donation may actually work for tax purposes for us because we don't technically have income, and it could be a donation. It's not income. We're not selling something. You're going to get a hat, but you're going to donate a little bit of money to us. No big deal.
That's what it is. Done.
And for the first people that order them, you'll get an autographed picture of James and I from
naked
Randall's.
From the waist down.
So there you go. We got lots of stuff.
I was like, why am I not included in the signature? That's like, oh yeah, I wasn't there for the Randall's event.
You took the photo. You remember the session very well.
So there you guys go. Lots of exciting things. Sorry we went way off the tracks here at the end. But
is that the topless session you're talking about? Or
well, you were there for both.
We called it the Versace, and we moved.
All right, guys. So that's all the time we have. We're sorry.
I'm not sorry for anything.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us this week. And we'll be back with you guys next week on the Nordies Podcast.